You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Organisations, we need your continued financial support to keep 3CR on air and our community connected and strong.
Consider selecting Auto Renew for your subscription.
Welcome. It's just gone 9 o'clock and you are now listening to Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence. Thank you to Susanna Duffy for Left After Breakfast. And I'd like to start today's show by acknowledging that we are broadcasting to you today from the stolen lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Woiwurrung, Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. Sorry, folks, I'm a little groggy this morning. I'd like to acknowledge the elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded and that we must do our best to support First Nations people in their struggles for self-determination, restitution, land back, sovereignty and treaty. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Slums in some metropolitan centers are coming down, condemned by forward-looking civic governments. Down are coming the bad living conditions that produce bad citizens.
The practical uses of asbestos are very numerous. At least 18,000 articles are made of it.
In the spring, the nature-loving Australian goes bush. The wife washes and the dishes dry themselves.
It's a serial pest.
Cities within cities, scientifically planned and built, where a man and his family with a small income can live with comfort and dignity as investments in democracy.
That's right, your fortnightly meditation on killing lawns and kicking fences. This is a show that is all about building community, talking to your neighbours, breaking out of the little boxes that we get put in society and see if we can maybe, I don't know, decolonize this space a bit, bring back the native ecology and vegetation. Now I'm joined with me today, my special guest Koshin of Uprise Radio. Woo! Oops, wrong podcast.
Hello.
There we go. I said groggy. Last time I was in the station, I was groggy too. That was Saturday morning. The Solidarity Breakfast crew was surprised to find me here because I had spent the entire night in Fitzroy.
Wow.
And many jugs of Long Island iced teas.
Just sticking around?
Yeah. And I just was like, you know what? I'm going to sober up at the station. And then I got to be on Solidarity Breakfast. And
that's incredible.
Just, yeah, I mean, I feel honored. It's a great show.
Well, I did not stay up all night to come on this show,
though
this is early for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no, I just didn't get good sleep last night. I was just telling Koshin earlier, I've I ate something that did not agree with me the other day, and it's just sort of wrecked me a bit. We already started having a great chat while the song was playing, and you were talking about, well, I was telling Koshin about how it's like, it's difficult sort of researching this sort of space of, you know, revegetating these lands, or maybe tiny house movement or tiny home movement, and just the interesting cultures or politics that comes up in these movements. There isn't a lot of left-wing, like actual left-wing as in left-wing economics, anti-capitalism, politics in there. And then you started talking about the hippies.
Yeah.
How they seem to be progressive at one point and have moved towards sort of cookery.
definitely. And like dramatically in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I think it's, most obvious during COVID. I think we all saw that crowd have really lurched to the right.
Yes.
They've really embraced, you know, a lot of very right-wing ideas.
Yeah. And so I was saying to Koshin that there's a book by Naomi Klein, a beloved author of many on the left, called Doppelganger. I think it's one of her more recent books. It is a long book. It's like she wrote it during COVID. Mm. She was watching Steve Bannon's War Room like every week and studying it. She has this legacy of being confused for, I think it's Naomi Wolf.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The model turned feminist writer. I think I've got the right Naomi. If I've missed up the name, apologies. That's, again, groggy. Basically, everyone confuses her. And so this woman who everyone thought was kind of progressive, the other Naomi thought was progressive, would post more and more cookery anti-vax things. Mm. And then people would confuse her on Twitter for Naomi Klein.
Yeah.
And it sort of became this thing. And so she had this doppelganger. And she was watching this person that was apparently in her same sphere just go further and further towards the right. Mm. People like Russell Brand, who were apparently progressive, but let's be honest, they weren't really. But, you know... it is like an interesting phenomenon, but we didn't get on the show today to talk about it. But if you're interested in that stuff, Naomi Klein's Doppelganger, brace yourself for a really long read, and lots of commentary about Steve Bannon, which we all love that.
I never understand what he's up to. They keep interviewing him like he's got a job, but he's just doing his own thing.
He's
like,
just the fascist propaganda creating man.
But he's just freelance. As far as I know, he's not, I don't know.
He's like a freelance Goebbels. Mysterious.
Yeah, basically. yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
So today we are talking about recession. Koshin sent me like a text message being like, we should talk about this. And it was the ABC interviewing an economist. I think it was the ABC.
Yeah, it was an ABC. He's done the rounds a little bit now as well. Yeah. He's done a second round. He's from the HSBC, the bank.
The bank.
The bank, the big bank.
But not the central bank.
No.
One of the big four.
It's a major bank. They did some kind of internal study, and he was on the news spruiking it. Basically saying out loud that we need a downturn in the economy is how he first put it. And then he admitted that a recession is basically what he's talking about, that we need a recession.
And the people have been... I wrote a little thing here. I don't know. Maybe it's too long. It was like a little silly summary of like how we get to recessions. I'll give it a read. It's a little bit silly, but I thought... The teacher in me, I was a teacher for a while, wants to give context for people who hear the words recession and inflation and then go glazy-eyed.
Yeah.
So this is my attempt at trying to break down something very complicated into something very simple and bringing it down to what I think matters. So we'll give it a go. And Koshin, you can review it.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Imagine I start a new country called the Nation of Amy. The Nation of Amy also has a central bank called the Reserve Bank of Amy. Now, I have selected capitalism as my economic way forward, with an ineffectual means of restraining said capitalism, known as liberal democracy. Now, both my government and publicly owned central bank want to get our capitalist economy going. To do that, we need to create money. We give this money to public institutions and private businesses to pay their workers and, of course, pay ourselves and the Reserve Bank of AMI. This money then goes out there into the world and circulates and stimulates transactions and wages that makes the economy. Some sectors struggle under this system, like the arts, which receive the leftover wages of the workers. So we create grants to help fund the arts and help keep stimulate those sectors. Now, if we don't get any of that money back, we will need to print lots more money as the capitalist economy continues to grow. If we print too much, we might cause inflation to rise too quickly and become unstable. So we create taxes. Say we create $10. We keep $1 in reserve and spend the rest on our society's needs to get it going. We then create taxes to try and recoup some of that money. If we don't recoup any money, then of course we're dealing with large inflation. But if we can recoup some of it, we're reducing it. So the more we recoup, the more we can curtail inflation. So we at the Nation of AMI's government attempt to make legislation to manage this. But there is also a class of people in the Nation of AMI who suck. They suck a lot, in fact. We call them the leech class.
Okay.
The leech class are not people on welfare or the well-off people. They are the hoarders. They are the ones with complete monopolies on entire private sectors of society. They like money a lot, and they suck that money that we printed here at the Nation of AMI, and they hoard it. They avoid taxes, make investments, and grow their wealth to an obscene amount, well beyond anything reasonable to live. They suck up all that money, which we printed out for everyone, and to have that money, and now we have to print more money because they're not giving it back.
Mm.
This creates inflation. We have to keep printing money. How else are we going to have the coffers to build infrastructure, fund health services, and so on? While these leeches grow and grow, they also suck up natural resources till they dry up and Mars comes to us. They squeeze and squeeze the labor force for more and more productivity for their growth. Say the nation... Oh, I'm going to skip that bit. Sorry.
Editorializing.
So... Blah, 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 blah. Sorry. Unfortunately, this boom of growth eventually always comes with a bust, where the leeches lay off workers and spend less in order to protect their hoards of wealth. This is called a recession, or as we call it in the Nation of AMI, taking one for the team. The team being my capitalist best friends, and the workers, the ones taking it. We're just receiving a little gift here relating to Radiothon. Thank you so much. Live, rough and ready radio. Now, that's the other part to this is stagflation, which is what we're actually experiencing in real life outside the Nation of AMI, which is the effects of recession whilst inflation keeps going.
Yeah.
But I hope people understand that sort of brings people into a little bit of an idea of what's going on. Mm. I borrowed a bit from Modern Monetary Theory, which is a show on a Friday night here at 3CR. It alternates with Slacker Radio. I like the way they talk about money being printed, because the money that we don't get back in that system, so we print $10, it goes out there into the world. We don't recoup the full $10. So we have to print more next year. So the difference that we didn't get back is what becomes debt.
Mm.
So in a way, whenever a politician talks about debt, they're talking about something that is inevitable under capitalism.
Yeah.
There is always going to be debt.
Yeah, definitely. And they like debt.
Yes.
They just don't want it. They want it all to be within the perfect Goldilocks margins.
Yeah.
They want inflation, but they don't want it above, you know, a couple of percent. Yeah. They want debt, but they don't want it to, you know, grow too fast. Yeah. No, I think that's good. The Land of Amy sounds like an interesting place. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's got a lot of problems. I admit we probably need some sort of revolutionary change or something along those lines. But
yeah, no, I think sounds a lot like Australia, I think. Anyways, the technical definition of a recession, I think, is 2 quarters, so 6 months of the economy shrinking. Is like the that's if you want the dictionary definition, but I think yours was much more, I think, easier to process on a narrative level.
Thank you. Well, I mean, also it seems to like it shrinks for 2 months, and then it just seems to be arbitrary sometimes when people declare when is and when isn't.
I do remember there was a lot of talk in the U.S. a couple of years ago because they had 2 quarters where the economy shrunk. And they were all saying, you know, well, I guess we're in a recession. And they came out and they said, no, it's not actually. We're going to change it a little bit. And they just changed. I can't remember what they came out with, but they just said, like, no, that's the old definition. We're gonna redefine it so that we're not in a recession. And I was like, I guess you can just do that. It seems so fraudulent.
And that's the thing that angers me so much is for the people dealing with this, like that guy who's doing the rounds talking about recession and the ABC interviewing and stuff. When they talk about it, it comes across as like a theoretical conversation they're talking about. Oh, we might end up in a recession.
Yeah.
We know that the journos at ABC and that dude who works for the banks is going to be fine.
Yeah.
He's not the leech class. The leech class I'm talking about are the super filthy rich class. Mm. Maybe he's part of it. I don't know. But he's close enough to that power and wealth to benefit, to have the safety of it. And so when I hear these people talk about it, I'm enraged because what they're actually talking about is the people with the wealth and power going, oh, our profits are decreasing. Mm. Oh, no.
Mm.
Well, we better make the people below us suffer and go through losing property, going homeless, struggling to put food on the table. Just so. Oh, and cutting things like the NDIS.
Mm. Yeah, no, I mean, that's it. It all becomes like such a spreadsheet and so abstracted that the humanity is completely removed.
Yeah.
And they can just make these big sweeping statements as if, you know, I mean, with AI at the moment, they keep talking about like labor reduction and how, you know, we'll be able to remove so much labor from the economy. And it's like, well, that labor is human beings. I mean, when you're talking about removing labor from the economy, you're talking about making people unemployed.
Yeah.
Like that has real world effects on people. That doesn't, it's not just that, you know, your little graph, the number goes up on it, your profit increases. Like that has a real impact on real people. And it's just not in the conversation when these people are talking on the news.
Yeah.
They just, they just get to say, it would actually be good for the economy if we had a recession. I don't know which economy they're talking about, but it certainly wouldn't be good for us or most of the people listening to this.
No, not at all. Sorry, I just got distracted because I saw my radiothon sheet, which we'll come to in a bit. But maybe we'll go to a break and then we'll keep talking about this.
Cool.
Where's the thing? Oh, yes. Folks, I've got some bad news coming up after the... after the announcements, so I'm going to give you a bit of a hint.
Make your donation during our annual Radiothon and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Donate to the 3CR Radiothon fundraiser this June.
To donate, call 0394198377 or go online at 3cr.org.au.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Rainbow United is a self-advocacy group that is run by and for LGBTQIA+ adults with intellectual disabilities and acquired brain injuries in Victoria. We get together online to fight for our rights, be in community, and support each other. We meet fortnightly on Zoom. Reach out to us by email at hello@rainbowunited.org.au. Or go to our website, rainbowunited.org.au. You're welcome in our Rainbow family. A 3CR supporter.
That was the legendary Nikki of 3CR, one of our great contributors and volunteers and programmers in the past. I thought I'd do a couple of news items just before we keep talking about recession. And then we're also going to talk about Spotify v. Anna's Archive.
Mm.
And I've also got an urban wasteland survival guide for you folks where you can learn about open source stuff like Anna's Archive. Radiothon, we're doing okay. Look, I did better last year, folks. I got to be honest with you. Last year, I was given $750 to raise. And by this time last year, I had smashed that, you know. So, look, we're sitting at $561. I would like to thank Seb Ann Stanley, my former co-host of Local Food Connections. Ann's still doing it on a Sunday. Keep listening to that show. Fiona York, Lou, Nikki, Emily, Koshin. Thank you, Koshin.
It's okay.
Joe M, Rob, Fiona, James McKenzie. Oh, James McKenzie is, of course, in your face later this afternoon. James McKenzie is a great queer and culture show called In Your Face, which you can catch every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. and has been going here since, I think, almost this since 2000, I think maybe early 2000s, but yeah, he's a very important part of this place. Pilar, also a very important part of this place, our former president for quite a while. Kelly Whitworth, Michaela, the wonderful Michaela from the Radioactive show and other bits and pieces. Vittorio Grando from Radio Philip, and Jennifer Burrell from the show after this one, which is Think Again. So thank you to all those people who donated, but folks, I know I've got a lot of listeners out there. $2. That's all I'm asking. $2. Because, you know, I see the numbers, unfortunately, when it comes to the podcast. Unfortunately for you. So unless you're all just getting it in your libraries and not listening it, and I'm actually got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got like 12 listeners, which in that case, maybe I should reconsider continuing the show. But... unless there's 12 people who just really love it, but let's kind of bring it in. I know we've all been struggling with recession and stagflation.
Yeah.
Amy's
being diplomatic. Folks, yeah. Break out the wallet right now.
Yes.
Call
3CR. Call
in. We don't have the text line up.
No, we don't have the text line up. Call 3CR 94119 8377 or head to 3cr.org.au/donate.
Donate. You can do it. Pull out your phone right now. Do it on the website.
Yeah.
And that's not a request. That's me. I'm the guest.
Thank you.
And I'm telling you.
And what's your show, Koshin?
We're on Uprise Radio on Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. on the 1st, 3rd, and 5th Wednesday of the month.
With the wonderful Zan.
Yes, Zan. And me and Zan are going to do a trivia night July 22nd at Hard Out Bar if you're free, if anyone's in the area. Tickets are going on sale today or tomorrow. Come on down, we'll be good.
Mercedes will be on the bar.
Mercedes is going to be there. Mercedes is going to be helping out.
Yeah,
big shout out to Mercedes.
Yeah, of Friday Rave with Jacob and Mercedes
and previous host of Uprise Radio.
Yeah,
a lot of overlap.
Yeah, a lot of overlap. It's
one big family.
It is, and it keeps growing.
Yeah.
Yep. We also lose some, sadly.
That's
family. That's the nature of it. The other two things I thought I'd update listeners with is we had a rally for the Better Buses campaign. I was MC and we had several speakers and it went really well. You'll be hearing the speeches tomorrow on Solidarity Breakfast, I believe. I'll also upload them just as a separate podcast episode if people are interested to the podcasting thing that I do. Also, last night I was at the AI, No AI for the West, organized by the Greens, Fix Socialists, and the legalized cannabis people. What's his name? David Etashenk. And that was an amazing turnout. We had the room completely filled up. We filled out all the chairs and people were standing. Like the big, big part of the Western Melbourne community came and were outraged about this. It was a fairly progressive space. Lots of good concerns and the simultaneous cough.
Yeah, wow. Incredible.
Lots of good concerns. And so those recordings will be aired over 3CR shows over the coming weeks, hopefully. And yeah, again, I'll try and get them on this show as well, play them on this show at some point or on the podcasting service. So, Koshin, got this problem.
Yep.
You were talking about it. It's a recession.
It's coming.
It's coming, apparently, according to people who won't be affected by it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah. There was a real bad one in the 1920s.
Yeah, one then.
And then they called it a depression. That's how bad it was. It leveled up.
It went
from, was it Charizard to Charmander or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
And it got a depression. So what do we do? Take it and bury our heads in the sand.
Stop buying cans of beans. That's my financial advice. Yeah, I mean, in terms of what we do, I mean, it's you just got to get
organized.
Get organized, exactly. It's the left wing cop out, just like anytime. But yeah, no, it's. I mean, it does seem like that has to be step one, of course.
But take the wisdom that you get here on 3CR from Koshin in particular, and bring it to your neighbors when you have that conversation. When someone reads, did you get Clive Palmer's ridiculous booklet?
I think whoever got it threw it out before I got a chance. I did see something like that in the bin.
I meant to bring it today. In it, he claims we are $1 trillion in debt. He also claims something like we spent $60 billion on the Indonesian football team or something crazy like that. Just crazy numbers. He's going full Donald Trump with this. Throwing out BS numbers.
I wish I was on the right. So it must be so fun. You can just say whatever you want.
But here's the thing. When someone goes to you about how are we going to pay for the NDIS? How are we going to pay for this? Listen to 3CR. Get informed. Think about ways that you can combat that narrative. Say to them, hey, mate, do you even know what debt is?
Yeah. Let's start there. Start from first principles.
Yeah.
But yeah, when the same week they were talking about cutting the NDIS, they were talking about not taxing the gas companies. And it was like, it was the same. There was more money to be made from this kind of baseline taxation of gas companies than they were going to cut from the NDIS. So the money's available. It's just prioritizing.
Yeah. The leech class.
It is that Josh Frydenberg, the Liberal MP, he has that line that's actually like quite good about AUKUS where they said, how are we going to afford it? And he said, if it's a priority, we can always find the money.
Yeah.
And it's like, I actually agree 100%.
Yeah.
That is very true. It's just that your priorities are completely out of whack. You're prioritizing the wrong things. But like, that's a great attitude to have.
Yeah.
That's the way to say it. Yeah. Don't worry about the money. If we want to do it, we'll get it done.
That's the argument that MMT people use. I'm not a proponent of MMT. I just find it interesting to learn about. I don't have a strong opinion either way, but monetary people say it's not really about whether you can afford it. The money isn't really the question. The government just prints and makes money. It's about other things. But folks, the people will try and mar the economy and complicated stuff. And look, it is complicated in bits and bobs situation, but the basic message is, who does it serve? Does it serve our needs? It sucks up the rich and suck up all the money. They suck the environment dry. They squeeze you as the labor force to get as much out of you, and then will eventually dump you for AI, apparently.
Yeah.
And will they give you a universal basic income? Will they even be bothered with that?
Yeah. 50 years ago, I think, UBI probably would have been, that would have been their solution. Now it feels like it's so disintegrated that they're not even, they're going to roll out the mass unemployment and then not even roll out the bare minimum social safety net to kind of like make up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think UBI is not, UBI cannot be the goal, in my opinion. Because it fundamentally relies on the same paradigm. Like, you're still going to have these big companies, going to have so much centralized power. You're just relying on the fact that they'll continue to pay what they owe in tax and that money can then be redistributed. But it would be surprising if they turned around and said that they'll finally start paying their fair share in taxes.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm not being rude, Koshin.
No, I'm very curious about what's going on here.
Koshin has just witnessed me pull out a Nintendo DS. Now, Koshin, what I have plugged into my Nintendo DS is a Game Boy Advance cartridge. So I'm playing a Nintendo DS console with a Game Boy Advance cartridge, which is a different Nintendo console.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm opening a open source developed music software program.
Okay.
And I wrote a little ditty.
Okay.
On this program for this week's Urban Wasteland Survival Guide. So I'm gonna get it going. It's a little kooky. Hopefully this works. I've got it plugged into the old 3CR stuff here. Let's see how we go. Oh, wrong button. Whoops.
Mm-hmm.
Got the volume up. There we go.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Urban Wasteland Survival Guide. This week, we are going to talk about open source software and how it can help you avoid giving away your hard-earned cash to greedy, leeching billionaires. So what is open source software? Well, it's a software that is like a computer program or a website or a database that is usually made freely available, which can enable people to redistribute it or make their own versions of the software without those typical money-grabbing copyright laws. It is a generally decentralized approach that encourages collaboration. You've probably used the most famous open source project, Wikipedia. While Wikipedia's quality varies depending on the contributor, it has become an incredible archive and resource of global human society translated into 67 languages. Even some of the presenters at 3CR have entries about them. No institution out there could possibly keep this kind of global collaboration on documenting human history and society on the scale that Wikipedia has done. And that was done through online collaboration and its open source software. Now, I am not a tech expert, but I have become a massive user of open source creations over the past couple of years, and it has saved me heaps of money and connected me to all kinds of wonderful communities and creations. Do you like retro gaming? Were you like me, playing your older siblings' gaming consoles from the 90s or even 80s? Do you miss those games? Well, you can download an open source operating system for your computer where you can play all the retro games you want. And these are the games that are no longer sold or distributed anymore. What is an operating system, you say? Well, that's basically the Windows 10, Windows 11 of your Windows, or Mac Sierra, Mac Monterey, whatever it's up to now. It's the interface you use to navigate your computer. It's your security system. It's your computer's software infrastructure. You can actually get open source made operating systems to use on your computer that aren't beholden to the interests of big corporations. But we're going to cover those, like Linux, in a future Cool Stuff episode. Going back to the retro gaming example, do you want new games for your old Game Boy? Head over to itch.io, where you can play new games for old systems via open source collaboration by fans of the genre. In fact, the kooky music you are hearing in the background is a tune I made using Stepper, a 16-step sequencer for the Game Boy Advance, created by user bad10d.dev. Yes, that's right, I made music using a handheld gaming console. I didn't buy the latest doodad, I downloaded free software and used it on what is supposed to be obsolete technology. This wasn't motivated by profit or selling the next big game. It was motivated by fun, curiosity, creativity, and community. Now, you may be thinking, Amy, is this open source stuff legal? Well, it depends. Most of what I've described so far is, but it really will be a case-by-case basis. If you download an out-of-copyright book that's no longer being published by anyone from an open source archive like Anna's Archive, then you are probably safe. But if you download something that is copyrighted, then you are definitely participating in piracy. And you definitely wouldn't want to join the thousands, potentially millions of people around the world committing piracy on a daily basis online, taking hard-earned money from the good, honest folk at Amazon, Netflix, Sony, Microsoft, or Spotify. You definitely don't want to download an open-source web browser, acquire yourself a VPN, and protect yourself and your network from your provider and corporations tracking you and what you do across the internet. How dare you pirate 1960s Spider-Man when you could be paying Disney for a Disney Plus account? Bad. Piracy, bad. Disney, Paramount, Netflix eroding workers' rights and incomes of those in the television and film industries to squeeze more profit while you pay for an overpriced subscription? Good. That's good. Piracy's bad. So where should you start if you want to ethically use open source media? There is a lot of perfectly legal and free stuff out there, like language learning apps for your holidays, music, creation software, alternatives to Microsoft Office Suite, GPS, anything you can imagine, really. As mentioned before, you can leave Apple and Windows for Linux, which we'll discuss in that future Cool Stuff segment. So, if you want to protect your privacy on the web and make use of AI-free ethical search engines, then give Tor browser a go. Or you can also try Vivaldi browser, like the Baroque composer, yes, Vivaldi, is also an excellent choice when it comes to built-in privacy and ad tracking protection. Please leave Google Chrome if you're currently using it. Not only is Google evil, but they are actively lobbying against your rights to privacy on the internet. Google Chrome also uses an immense amount of your computer's memory, so saving yourself a lot of pain leaving Google. Now, I am not an expert on virtual private networks, aka VPNs, but I will explain part of what they do. The device you access the internet through has an address on the internet called an IP address. So if someone was trying to work out where you are accessing the internet from, they can trace your IP address back to you. A VPN means you get to mask that by accessing the internet through an IP address within your specific virtual private network, somewhere else in the world. There is a lot more to it than that, and maybe in a future episode we can get a tech expert to come in and explain VPNs in more detail. But there are two important things you should know. Using a VPN means you can still be tracked and traced on the internet. It just requires more effort. So if you want to do a very naughty, bad thing, like build the world's largest free online library, like Anna and her archive, then you may want to be an expert hacker. But you wouldn't do that because that's very naughty. The other important thing that you need to know about VPNs is that you need to be doing your research on which one's reliable, effective, and be prepared to fork out some money for them. If you do get a VPN, just don't do piracy, okay? It's bad. Don't pay for a VPN and then cancel your subscriptions and get media for free. That's very, very bad. Think of the poor artists who get almost nothing after the editors, producers, labels, and distributors take their cut. Very bad. Don't do that. Speaking of free media, where should you begin for sifting through this amazing digital commons? I recommend free media, heck yeah. Web address fmhy.net. Want to find all the free and legal Marxist, anarchist, Black Lives Matter and activist archives? They've got a list for that. Want to find free audiobook software and audiobook recordings recorded by communities or just made freely available? They've got that. Free media, heck yeah, is an archive of the safest places you can go to get free media. And they have guides on how to safely navigate this space, including guides to your privacy and antivirus software. And they have lists of the software that can protect you while you're using the internet online on the website. It truly has everything you need to get started. That's why it is my main recommendation for today. So go over to fmhy.net, freemediaheckyeah.net, and check it out. Visit the website and give yourself a taste of the digital commons. Well, that's some rough and ready radio, if ever I heard it. thanks for bearing with me, folks. I accidentally played a draft recording, not the final one. So maybe I will fix that up and find the right one and put that for the podcast. But all the, it's the same information, just, you know, not the repeating of words that I did many times.
I think it's rugged and raw.
Look, you can't be perfect. It's what community radio is about, apparently.
It's authentic.
And that's why I deserve, sorry, not me, but 3CR deserves your money.
Yeah, the money does not go to the show. It's the presenters.
Yes, and clear. That's a good thing. So, Koshin, I mentioned Anna's archive and that, and I wanted to chat to you today about Spotify v. Anna's Archive. So Anna's Archive has a mission, folks. Their mission is to be a archive of all the written books and material and scientific papers and stuff that humanity creates, because in society we are experiencing the biggest amount of creation, of culture, of writing, of thought, but also a very fast amount of destruction. So their idea was to create this massive free online library. It's always sat in a legal gray area, but because it's been so prolific, it has been targeted by Amazon and these big companies like Google way more than other open source projects and archives of a similar nature. They have done something pretty audacious towards the end of last year, which is release a little thing that I sent to Koshin about how they are scraping the entire Spotify library for you to have for free. Now, the Australian media responded to this broadly condemning these pirates, these radicals. And saying that the poor artists, the poor struggling artists will not get paid, which is like, and completely skipping the whole fact that Spotify is a system of paying the artists as little as possible.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to know who they consult on that, because everyone I know who has their stuff streaming on Spotify, they are making, you know, cents. Yeah. Like, it's, Spotify is not exactly paying people out.
But the article that we, I'll put all the links into the description of today's show. But the article talked about the sort of the algorithms, I guess, of Spotify and how it recommends and distributes, redistributes music on the platform. So there's like, I think it was like, there's like a 10% or something of like really popular stuff that is just like flooded. And then the rest is like on this curve that's going down. And it's really interesting. It's full of all these graphs and descriptions. And they really sort of take apart just how inequitable Spotify is as a place for finding music, which I think we already knew. But it's like really good data just showing like how Spotify is a platform for the Taylor Swifts of the world,
definitely.
For the Kanyes of the world,
definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
Sorry, Tay-Tay, to put you in the same sentence as Kanye. I know you hate that, but, you know, I don't really care about blonde, white billionaires.
Yeah, she is a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has a private jet that emits an immense amount of carbon damage that she flies around the world. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I think I saw her on one of those tracking things where it was showing a lot of them just get a private jet from like one side of the city to the other to skip traffic. It's really wild.
It's pretty wild. Meanwhile, those bloody socialist poor musicians catching public transport, lugging their instruments.
I think it's so funny, the like using Spotify as an example of some kind of fair and equitable system of payment when they are just harvesting so many artists' data, and then Spotify, the company, makes a lot of money, but they do not pay out very much money to those artists.
There is a flip side. There is a criticism I have of Anna's and other similar open source, and we were just talking about this while I was playing the open source thing, which is a lot of the open source content is pretty, well, it by its accessible nature is ripe for just being pillaged by LLMs, large language models, and just AI data collecting and scrubbing.
Mm.
And in fact, Anna's blog has talked about how actually the West is falling behind China's scrubbing of Anna's archive.
Yeah.
And that the West needs to scrub harder.
Yeah.
It needs to scrub the data and the copyrighted material harder for training its AI, which is kind of disappointing. It's a very useful tool, Anna's archive, when you use it legally and responsibly, depending on which part of the world you're in. But it's frustrating. Even the Free Media Heck Yeah website has an AI section, and I mean, they do good information and education on the web, but it's also like, I just kind of wish you didn't tell people about AI, because I don't want people to go to Grok or ChatGPT.
I mean, it just does expose the hypocrisy so much that politicians will say that this is bad, the archiving is bad, but have nothing to say about AI just going through. And now there's this thing coming out about how there might be a deal in the works for AI companies to scrub copyright material in Australia. So as long as you're making money off of it and profiting, then it's sort of, it's more acceptable and it's not up for condemnation. But if you're just doing it because it's a project of free information, then that's wrong. And that's, that needs to be condemned. It's very hypocritical.
Absolutely. And honestly, I played a Nintendo DS, Game Boy Advance. Someone made a thing on it. Now, the reason I can play, if you know Nintendo, you have cartridges for Nintendo, right? A cartridge is what the game is on. This is the sound of me putting the cartridge in the Nintendo. And
it's good ASMR.
Yeah. And, well, the cartridge that you put in contained the game. It's like a CD, basically. If you remember the age of CDs and VCRs and stuff, like old people like me and Koshin. I was remembering Sea Monkeys the other day. I don't know. Sorry, digress.
Bring them back.
So the game is loaded onto the cartridge. It's basically a program on the cartridge. You plug it into your console and then you can play the game. What happened was people worked out how to make them themselves, made their own cartridges, and then put all the games Nintendo made on the cartridges. Now, during the time that these were being sold and distributed by Nintendo, this was a massive lawsuit because it was basically doing piracy. But then since then, these Nintendo games, you can't buy them from Nintendo anymore. They're obsolete. The consoles are considered obsolete by Nintendo. They do not sell you Game Boy Colors anymore. They do not sell you Game Boy Colors with Game Boy games on them. And the ones that you can get are super expensive because they're now like a rare item. So people just went, hey, that technology for piracy was really great for me to be able to play my favorite old games and get them and like track them down. And so now people are doing that. But did you know that Nintendo has never stopped pursuing them in legal cases? That almost every year they try and try again, and almost every time fail to prosecute the people creating these little cartridges and distributing the ROMs.
I believe that they go after them for sure. They take it so seriously,
but they do not actually
They don't win,
and they don't win because they're not selling the games anymore.
Yeah
They're not distributing. These aren't games that they can make a profit anymore. And so they should be up for, in my opinion, should be common use.
Yeah, yeah. That's where it gets really out of control. Like there's that, especially there's so many games, there's websites online that archive them.
Yeah.
Games that you are unable to buy them anymore.
Yeah.
And so people, try to make them available. They say, you know, do you want to, this is a nostalgic thing. Yep. Would you like still have access to this? And people just, they're shut down for it. But it's, to me, it's like so absurd. Like, you're not even selling it. Why would you care if people are handing it around anymore?
Yeah, which gets to Anna's mission, which is to archive as much as possible in this world where so much gets lost, where there's obsolescence. And I think that's a really admirable thing. Also, it's really... You know, theoretically, say, you know, there's a book by Noam Chomsky and another guy whose last name's Herman, I can't remember his first name, I always forget it, called Manufacturing Consent, that I really recommend to people, particularly like thinking about media and propaganda. But the problem is Noam Chomsky is an idiot.
Noam Chomsky of Epstein fame?
Yeah, of Epstein fame.
Yeah, that one hurts so much. That was the only one.
But theoretically, someone could boycott and get the work that is still valuable and boycott his coffers using a internet archive.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't encourage you to do that. That would be piracy. And I don't think he would care, but still. Anyway, it's just, you know. And so I think that this world of Anna's archive opens up this way, in a way, to resist and challenge. There is, as you were saying when we were listening to the recording off air, a libertarian side to a lot of these open source people and projects, particularly with the whole like, oh yeah, let's just let AI do it thing.
Yeah. Free capitalism sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, I think the idea of the internet being like a free space, making, you know, that the idea that information wants to be free, et cetera, like I really think that's something that should be embraced. Like that's good. It's bad that it gets kind of, you know,
scraped,
soaked into this like libertarian thing. But I don't think it's necessarily attached to that.
Yeah.
Like, I think there is a real left-wing vision of that.
There is. And, you know, Free Media Heck Yeah has that list of all the left-wing open source things. There's Audible Anarchist, for example. Audible Anarchist is all the anarchist texts read by random people so you can listen to them as audiobooks.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got Marxist websites. They've got Black Lives Matter. There's like activist archives from around the world. Like this is all out there for free in digital commons. There's even like material for kids, not like there probably is activist or books or whatever for kids, but like there's just like free stuff for kids. How great would that be for a struggling parent? Is this perfectly legal free stuff out there for kids, you know?
Yeah, it's so frustrating. I mean, it's like this digital age, it would be so easy to make huge amounts of data and information freely available, but it is so constrained by these private interests. And talking about kids stuff, I mean, you could have access to so many great old cartoons and kids shows.
Or make your own. That's what people can do. You know, what was the software they used to do the animations for this show? Oh, I'm just going to have a go and make my own cartoon.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what people do online for fun, for free.
Yeah, yeah.
That's anarchism, baby.
Yeah.
Well, that's the dream of anarchists, I think.
Mm.
Although a friend, Jordan from Slacker Radio, once told me all the anarchists think that, you know, we're all just going to be lounging around, doing art and stuff. But actually, we're probably going to be digging lots of holes to grow the food.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
it's probably just going to look like lots of digging.
Okay. Yeah. That's a utopian vision in a way.
Did you have anything you wanted to say about the Spotify v Anna's archive? Obviously, Anna's bad. They're just terrible people.
But the project, I think, is really... Like, I like the concept of the project, you know? Even if it is...
Piracy.
I mean, that's the bit that I think I'm pro, yeah. I don't like the AI association. I think it's a good... Like, I think that that's what the internet is for. Like, I think that's the real dream of what the internet could give us is, you know... Like, I feel like I'm trying in my life not to say the word abundance because I'm so linked in my mind to this, like, Ezra Klein thing.
Capitalism.
Yeah, but it's like, there is an option of abundance, like a real abundance, not this weird neoliberal abundance.
Yeah.
Where, you have free access to so much creative work. But, you know,
banned
it'd be
books.
Good if people were getting paid.
Transreads.org is another open source website, which is just all the trans literature out there that you can get, fiction, nonfiction. It's got a queer and trans in Palestine section, which has authors including like Angela Davis, like legends like her, and Palestinian authors, of course. It also has a banned books section, which is actually very tame books that were just banned by moral panics in the US.
American banned, yeah. Books that are banned in America, yeah.
And
not a crazy list. It's so middle of the road. Like, it's so strange.
Mm. But you won't get a resource like that anywhere else. And then you can always use that resource to find books and then not download them from there, but then pay the author and give them their dues as well. Or like with music, you can use Bandcamp and you can actually give more directly to them. But someone who doesn't need your money and is an anarchist is Björk. She doesn't mind if you steal her stuff. She's on record for saying that.
Shout out to Björk.
I'm going to play up that name.
I know how to say
Björk. She says
okay.
It rhymes with jerk.
Okay, yeah.
So you were close. Think Again's coming in now. So we're done for this week. Thank you, Koshin, for joining me.
No stress. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Stay tuned for Think Again and see you in a fortnight's time. And catch this show online at 3cr.org.au/killyourlawn or on your favorite podcasting platform. This is My Juvenile with Björk and the legendary Anahi.
My juvenile.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.